Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valkersell.
Man, well, tonight I want to talk to you from the subject of becoming good soil for the Master. Becoming good soil for the Master. And I want to begin in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 1. And we're going to look over this parable that Jesus spoke during his life on earth. He spoke it to those listening, to the multitudes, and then he also spoke it to his disciples and gave them some more clarity and explanation as to what he was saying. They came to him and said, Jesus, we're not sure we get this, so can you please explain? And so he goes into greater detail a little bit later on, and we're going to look over both of these portions of Scripture. But before we begin reading, let me first share a little bit about how this message came to be. Just in my own Bible reading time, I was here in Matthew chapter 13, and I began to read, and man, God began to speak to me. And I just want to take a little bit of a sidestep here and say to you that, hey, if you want to hear God's voice, you got to get around the Word of God. Because the Word of God was written by Him. And it's going to familiarize you with his voice so that when he speaks, you recognize it. If you've ever known somebody who's written a book and you went ahead and opened up that book and read that book of the person that you knew, you're able to hear their voice in the book. Now, this morning, Pastor Jim mentioned how he wrote this book that nobody read. I read it. I have read Followership. And, you know, as I read it, I could hear Pastor Jim speaking in the book. Well, the same thing is true about the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, you're going to hear God's voice and familiarize yourself with it so that when He speaks, you identify it right away and say, ah, that's God speaking to me. Let me get a notepad. Let me get something. Let me write this down because God wants to do something great in my life. And so as I began to read Matthew chapter 13, God began to speak and I began to write some things down. I had the privilege of sharing some of this with our staff this last Wednesday, and I'm excited for what God wants to share with us tonight. Can somebody say amen? Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse number 1, it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And in verse number 9, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Wow, what an incredible portion of Scripture. And as I begin to read through these words of Jesus, and let's just be honest, I've read this before. I've heard the parable. I've heard it taught on. But back here in Matthew chapter 13, as I begin to read the words of Jesus, it just began to stir in me a fresh desire, and ignite in me a fresh desire. And I found myself on the inside saying, Lord, I want to be the good soil for the Master. God, I want to be the one that when you speak and when you begin to pour your word out into my life, God, I want to be able to receive that and bring forth fruit. I don't want to fall into these other categories where the enemy is coming and stealing the things that you are trying to deposit in me. God, where I cannot endure hardship and tribulation and persecution, or God, where I'm just so distracted with other things that ultimately the things that you say do not bring forth fruit in my life. God, I want to be the good ground that you speak of here in Matthew chapter 13. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you need a little bit of a kindling of your passion fire, just go ahead and get around the Word of God and let God begin to speak into you. And all of a sudden, those passions and those desires for those holy things that we ought to have burning on the inside begin to be reignited and kindled so that we pursue the things that God has for us. Are you listening today? And so as this desire begins to bubble up on the inside, all of a sudden God speaks to me. And this is what God said. The moment I read verse number 9, God spoke and he said, you determine what kind of soil you are and the kind of fruit produced. Joey, I'm so glad that you have a desire to be the good soil for God. At least you have a desire. Because there's some people out there, they have no desire. They have no passion. But my Bible says, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the things of God, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Joey, I'm so glad that you have a desire, but it's going to take something on your part. You are the one who determines the kind of soil you are and the kind of fruit produced. And I think that's so important for us to understand today. Because so many of us approach the kingdom of God and approach the things of God with a passivity. When God is looking for participation. Did you hear what I said today? So many of us, you know, God, I want to have a good marriage. Great, great. God, I want to raise my children successfully. God, I want to be promoted on the job. And so I guess if that's going to happen, then God, you're just going to show up and wave your magic wand over my life, and it's just going to happen. My friends, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. It's going to take your participation, your taking what God has to say and putting it to practice in your life. And as you do, that's when you'll find yourself becoming this good soil that we're talking about, okay, producing the fruit that God has purposed and destined for your life. Does anybody here want to be fruitful? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to live a fruitless life. God has, thank God, it's God's will for it. God is not the one standing in front of you, opposing you, trying to keep you from being fruitful. God has ordained, the Bible says, that you go and you bear much fruit, that you would bring glory to God the Father. Don't you want to be fruitful today? If you do, it's going to take your participation to bring it to pass. You know, the other option, if you don't want to be fruitful, the Bible talks about being, you know, somebody who drinks in the rain often and just produces thorns and briars and is not really good for anything but soon to be burned. Well, and so often we approach the things of God with a passivity instead of a participation. So God said, you determine, Joey, what kind of soil you are and the kind of fruit produced. And so if you'll skip down with me now to verse number 18, Jesus begins to expound upon this parable. Once again, his disciples were, I think we're a little confused, God. We're not quite sure what you're trying to say. We know it's important. Can you explain it to us? And so he begins to elaborate on this parable. And as we read this parable and we recognize, identify the things that Jesus speaks of, okay, we're gonna gain great insight into the things that will try to set us back from being the good soil that God wants us to be. And if we can identify these things, boy, we can steer clear of them, can't we? And we can prepare ourselves to and position ourselves to overcome them and become the good soil that God wants us to be. And so in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 18 now, he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. In other words, this is what I'm talking about. This is what it means. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse number 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word of God, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And then finally again in verse number 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Once again, through the things Jesus lists here, we're going to get great insight about the things that will try to set us back and the things that will try to hinder us from being the good fruit that he's called us to be. And as we see these things, and if we'll address them, then we'll overcome and become what God has for us to be. So tonight, if we are going to be good soil for the master, we must, first thing is here, set ourselves to understand. If you're going to be the good soil for the master and you're going to produce fruit, you're going to have to, number one tonight, you're going to have to set yourself to understand. Verse number 19, let's read it again. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside, the seed being the word of God. So if we're going to be the good soil, we're going to have to set ourselves to understand it. Somebody once said, ignorance is bliss. Not so in the kingdom of God. Ignorance, in fact, according to the scripture, is an open door for the enemy to come in and steal what God is trying to deposit in your life. Let me say that again. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is an open door for the enemy to come into your life and steal what God is trying to deposit in your life. Somebody once said, what you don't know can't hurt you. Ever heard that before? Actually, Jesus practically teaches the opposite. What you don't know can and will hurt you. And so it's going to require us to come to a place in our lives where we set ourselves to understand. Like the prophets of old, the Bible says that they would set their face to seek the Lord. They would put themselves in a position. God, there's something going on in my life. God, you're trying to do something. God, you're trying to speak something. It's not very clear to me. So I'm going to put myself in a position where I can hear from you and where I can gather the understanding and the wisdom that I need for this time, for this season of my life. I'm going to set myself. You know, the scripture says, if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will come and I will heal your land. But it's not until you humble yourself and if I can highlight this part, seek God's face. It's not until you set yourself to understand that understanding is going to come. You see, for each and every one of us, this is not about, look, I've gone through years of Bible college, got my bachelor's degree in Christian ministry. I've been a pastor for a long time, okay? At age 36, how many years have I been pastoring? Got ordained in 2010, so what is that? 10 years, a decade already. Man, by the time I'm 70, woo! And yet there are many things that I read in scripture that I don't understand. But the key is I'm learning. And I'm growing, and I'm seeking, and I'm pursuing. So this is not a guilt trip tonight. If there are things that you don't understand, this is just simply to say, you and I can no longer afford to just go on ignorant. We can no longer afford to just go on without understanding, to go on unaware, to go on not having a clue, disregarding and setting aside what the Word of God has to say and the Word of God that is coming through, you know, the fivefold ministry gifts, those that God has ordained to bring the Word of God to you. You've got to put yourself in a position to seek to understand. And when you do, God promises that He will help you to understand. Come on, somebody, whose responsibility is it to you for you to understand? Is it not your responsibility to understand? Is it not my responsibility to understand? Just take a moment and think about a student in class, a student in high school, a student in college. It is the teacher's responsibility to communicate the information, but ultimately it is the student's responsibility, come on, to understand that which was spoken. I got an amen from about 5 people in the building. Where's my choir at? It's the student's responsibility to understand. Okay, a student's progress is dependent upon how well they listen. Come on, if a student flunks the class, very rarely do we go, well, what's your teacher doing wrong? Right? We'll get to the teacher part in just a minute, okay? It's the student's responsibility to pay attention. Like Lauryn Hill once said, if you're gonna be somebody, if you're gonna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Right? I mean, sometimes the world has more wisdom than we do in the church. But a student is responsible for listening. Pastor Joe, I'm not in school. We're not talking about school. You signed up to be a follower of Jesus. You signed up to be a disciple of Jesus. In other words, a student of Jesus Christ. Be imitators, therefore, of God and walk in love. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So you fall into this category of being a student. Okay? A student's progress is dependent upon how well they listen. How about this one? How well they ask questions. Come on, at the very least a student can do is say, I don't get it. Can you help me out? Right? How well do you ask questions? My friend, if you're no longer asking questions, you may be in danger of ceasing learning. If you are no longer asking questions, look, whether you are new in the things of God or you are mature in the things of God, we all should live lives of learning. Lifelong learners is what we should be. How well are you asking questions? Some of you have had doubts and concerns about the scripture for years. Have you ever endeavored to find out the answers? How well they listen, how well they ask questions, okay? How well do they study? A teacher can only aid these processes, but ultimately cannot do them for the student. The student has to do these things. The student has to study, right? Students should study. That's like, there's no simpler way to say that. I like this definition of the word study. Applying of the mental faculties to the acquisition of knowledge. That's what it means to study. It means to apply your mental faculties to the acquisition, the acquiring, the gaining of knowledge. When you come to church, you should put your, as they say in class, your thinking caps on. After all, this is the door to the heart. You've got to wake up and pay attention. Okay? And as we do, understanding will come. Now, I know what some of you are thinking today. Well, Pastor Joe, that's great, but I had some teachers over the years, and they weren't the best teachers, and that's why I left that class not knowing everything I should have. Well, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you got the teacher of all teachers whose expertise is teaching. He went about preaching, teaching, and healing. In fact, I love what the scripture says. The Bible says that when Jesus walked the earth, he saw the people, and they were like sheep having no shepherd. So he was moved with compassion for them, and he taught them. They lacked direction. They lacked understanding. They lacked wisdom. And as a result, their lives were suffering for it. And God said, I know what you need. You need a teacher. And so let me come along and let me share with you from the infinite wisdom that I have, things pertaining to your life so that you can raise up and become everything that God's called you to be. He is an expert at teaching. He is the teacher of all teachers. The Bible says that, man, he founded the earth with wisdom, and with understanding, he established the heavens. That his wisdom and his understanding is infinite. Don't you know God knows how to teach you, and God knows how to get to you the truth that you need today to be successful in your life? I love what the New Testament comes along and says in 1 John. It says that the Holy Spirit whom you have received, who dwells in you. You know, sometimes we come to church and we're sitting here, God, I'm waiting for you to show up. All the while, he's living down on the inside. He's right there on the inside. When's the last time you looked down on the inside? Because the teacher dwells within you. You have received him. He dwells within you, and his job is to teach you. And there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, and what he teaches you is the truth and not a lie. And in fact, you don't even need another teacher. He's so good. And as he teaches you and you follow what he says, you will remain in God. That's God's promise to you and to me. After all, isn't that his name? Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. So you have the teacher of all teachers. The problem is not with the teacher. Oh, and by the way, the problem is not with the seed either. The problem is not with the Word of God either. The Word of God is full of life and power and has within it the capability of absolutely transforming your life. The Bible says it goes forth out of God's Word and does not return out of his mouth and does not return to him void, but accomplishes that which it was sent forth to do. And my friend, it was set forth and it was sent forth to transform your life and make you like Jesus. Come on, to save you, to deliver you, to heal you, to raise you up and make you that mighty man and that mighty woman of God. Oh! I wish I had somebody in this house to help me out just a little bit. I like to get excited about the things of God. I found out a long time ago they're true. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed has the power, the Bible says, to save the soul. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. The psalmist said, it makes me wiser than my enemies. Oh, and by the way, it makes me wiser than my teachers too. There's not a problem with the teacher, and there's not a problem with the seed. The problem is with us, because we don't set ourselves to understand. All right, I'll leave that one alone. The problem's not with your wife, it's with you. It's not with your boss, it's with you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Come on, sometimes we are our worst enemies. God, I wish you'd just come and fix this person, slap them upside the head, and no. You're the problem. You haven't set yourself to understand. Okay, if we're gonna become the good soil that God has for us to be, second thing here is we're gonna have to prepare for hard times. Prepare for hard times. Verse number 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So what do we see here? We see somebody who's received the word. The word begins to produce in their life. But yet they're taken away from the word, Jesus says here, because tribulation and because of persecution. And so we're going to have to understand that one of the promises of God throughout Scripture is that you will face hard times. It's not a promise of God that we like talking about. But Jesus promised. Yeah, he promised to heal you. He promised to give you the victory. He promised to do a mighty thing in you and complete that work until you're right. But he also said that there's going to be hard times that come along. In this world, you will have persecution. In this world, you will face tribulation. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is trying to prepare us mentally. Let me say that again. Jesus makes us aware of what we're going to face ahead of time, so that when it comes, it doesn't take us by surprise. Jesus is forewarning us, hey, you're going to face tribulation. You're going to face hardship. Not everybody's going to like you. You're going to wake up one morning and the sun's going to be shining and the sky's going to be blue, and 5 minutes later, it's going to be pouring rain. You understand what I mean. These things are going to happen. So prepare yourself mentally. I like what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 says. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Notice what he said. I want you to arm yourself. I want you to equip yourself. With what, Jesus? With a mentality. With a perspective. That there's going to be suffering and there's going to be sacrifice in this life. So when it comes, it shouldn't take me by surprise. I should be ready. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Okay, hard times come for us all, my friend. We live in a fallen world. Okay, we live, even our own flesh is not fully redeemed, right? And we live among, a sinful world. There's going to be a fallen world. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be challenges. Listen, let me say it to you like this. You can live a lily white life. You can do everything right, do everything that you feel God has for you to do, and you can do it to it. I mean, you can just do it to a T and still face hardship and still face problems. Did you notice, is anybody out there ever, it just seems like when you finally made up your mind, I'm going to follow God in this area, or I'm going to do this thing at God's, the moment you make that decision, you're like, all hell breaks loose. What just happened, Jesus? I thought if I did what you said, you'd bless me. Did you notice what it said here? That persecution and tribulation arises because of the word? Other translations say, for the word's sake. The devil don't like that you make a decision to follow Jesus. He's going to do everything he can to get you to walk away from it. Side note, actually when the devil steals things out of people's hearts, he doesn't actually come along, snoop along, and then, like, it's not like you come to church and you hear something good and then you walk out and all of a sudden you're like, I don't remember a thing that was said. Somehow somebody stole it out of my brain or out of my heart. That's not what the enemy does is he gets you to walk away from it through tribulation, through trial. with deception, with lies. He gets you to walk away from the things that God has spoken into your life. So let's prepare ourselves mentally. I like this one. How about let's prepare ourselves with obedience? What are we talking about? We're talking about preparing for hard times, preparing ourselves mentally. Arm yourself with this mind, Jesus said. We need to prepare ourselves with obedience, obediently. Let me say it to you like this. There's something about doing and obeying that readies you for the storm. There's something about obeying God now that prepares you for the future storms that will come your way. Ever considered Noah? Noah was given this task to build a boat, pretty large boat. In fact, I think they built one in Kentucky, if you want to go see a model. Pretty cool. Huge! Took years. Could you imagine what the day-to-day was like for Noah? Got another tree, another cubit of wood, another, I don't know what they used for nails back then, but another hammering away, another simple obedience day by day. What was he doing? Preparing for the storm. Come on, somebody. It's simple obedience day by day so that when the storms of life come here, all of a sudden, I don't know how I withstood this thing, but I had everything I needed to withstand it because God was on my side. Let me put it to you like this. I can remember in college we ordered this trampoline and this trampoline showed up in a box. You know, you see this picture of this huge trampoline, you're like, yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, it's delivered and you're like, what is this? You open it up and there's all these pieces everywhere. But as you follow the instructions, one piece at a time, one piece at a time, another piece, another hook, another screw, another, as you obediently follow the instructions, before you know it, you got a trampoline. You hear what I'm saying to you today? As you obey, you are preparing yourself for future storms. I like what Jesus said. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 7, verse number 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken or I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. There's the storm. There's the trial. There's the tribulation. There's the persecution. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I wish I had more time to talk about this, but if you're going to be the good soil that God for the master, good soil for the master, you're going to have to prepare mentally and you're going to have to prepare obediently. God will ready you to overcome every storm of life. Number three today, if you're going to become the good soil for the master, you're going to have to identify and lay aside the things that compete for the word's place. Verse number 22, let's read it together. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Notice what he says here one more time, okay? That the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So what do we have here? We have people who have received the word of God, okay? It begins to bring forth fruit in their lives. But then a thorn, okay, weeds begin to compete with the fruit and ultimately end up choking out what God intended to be. So if we're going to be the good ground, we have to identify the things, okay, that compete for the word's place in our lives. What is it that's in your life that's competing for God's place? That's competing for the word's place? What is it that's keeping you from 100% all-out obedience? Those things must be dealt with if you're going to bring forth the kind of fruit that God has for you to bring forth. Well, Pastor Joe, what exactly are you talking about? Let me share with you one other verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Okay, it says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Lay aside the weight and the sin. My friends, not everything that competes for the word of God and keeps you from being fruitful is sin. Let me say that again. Not everything that competes for the word's place in your life and keeps you from being fruitful is sin. There are things that are competing for the word's place in your life that are not sin. And because they're not sin, we allow them. And they continue to render us powerless and ineffective in this walk with Christ. What exactly are you talking about, Pastor Joe? Too much TV? That's one thing I can think of. Come to church. You know, get distracted with social media, the preacher's preaching. There's all kinds of distractions, relationships, friendships. The Bible talks about here the desire to become successful. Pastor Joe, I'm just trying to make it on my job. I'm just trying to make some money. I'm just trying to get a promotion. Well, that's fine, and God wants you to have those. There's nothing wrong with those things, except they have to be kept in their proper place. And if your pursuit for greater success, greater riches, greater things is choking out the word, my friend, you need to deal with that in your life. In fact, if I could just be honest, I think most Christians fall into this category. We're distracted. We allow the deceitfulness and the pleasures of the world to come in and choke the word. And so we become unfruitful. Unhealthy relationships. For some of you single people out there, you know you shouldn't be pursuing that relationship. Let me tell you how you know, because it's taking you away from the things of God. And it's keeping you from obeying and bearing fruit the way God wants you to bear fruit. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the sin. My friend, we have a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful promise from God that because he has come and set us free, all you have to do, identify it and lay it aside and walk away, and it's done. You don't need some 10-step program. Just do what Jesus says and it'll be done. Come on, somebody. Lay it aside. Let us lay aside. Lay it aside. Okay? And finally today, all right, if you're going to become good soil for the master, you'll have to give time to study and contemplating God's word. We kind of already talked about this in our first point. But if I could just be honest with you, if you're here tonight and you're looking over these different scenarios that Jesus brings up in this parable of the sower, you're looking at these different categories, you're wondering, am I in this one? No, maybe I'm in that one. Maybe I'm in this other one. You want to know the truth of the matter? I really believe that all the categories apply. Right? All the categories apply. There are places in our life where we need to set ourselves to get understanding. Places in our life where we need to better prepare for hardship. Places in our life where, you know, we need to uproot and lay aside those things that are competing for God's word. Are you hearing me? Now it may sound like a big laundry list of things to do. You want to know the key that'll make it all easy? It's this last point. Give time to study and thinking about God's word. How well have you developed this, I guess you'd call it a good habit, a practice, I know there's some better words, but you know, of just sitting back and meditating on the word of God. Meditation is key. Meditation is the key from the hearing to the obeying. This is why people hear and fail to obey, because they spend no time thinking about what's been said. Thought always precedes action. Hello, somebody. Nobody's ever, you know, driven to Walmart, got out of their car, walked down to aisle 10, and all of a sudden they're like, how did I get here? No, you thought about it. You know, you might forget some of the things you were there for. I've done that. What was I supposed to get again? Text my wife. What do we need besides a new TV? No, just kidding. Right? Just kidding. Okay? Thought always precedes action. And the reason why so many of us have a hard time obeying is because we hear the word, we leave, and we forget. And we don't give any attention, no time, no thought to what has been said. And it's in the time of meditation, it's in the time of thinking, it's in the time of contemplation that you remember to do what God said. Oh, and by the way, God gives you further understanding as to what's been said. This is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. This is actually the same parable in Matthew 13, just in Mark. And he adds this little snippet in between when he said the parable and then when he explained it. Mark chapter 4, verse number 24 and 25. Take heed what you hear. Other translations say, give the more earnest heed to what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Can I put it to you this way? The degree of thought and study you give to the Word of God will determine the quality and the quantity of the fruit produced. Because thought always precedes action. Can I quote to you Psalms 1? Blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor, right, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day. Let's just go there and read it. Let's just go there and read it real fast. It's real short, and then we're done, I promise. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. I need you to see this. Psalms chapter 1. Sometimes start quoting things to people and it's just anyways, in one ear and out the other. Okay. Psalms chapter 1. This was not planned. It's not on the overhead, so this one's free for those of you who brought your Bibles. Or you have the app on your phone and you're not distracted with social media right now. Okay. Just want to make sure. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Did you see it right there? Watch what it says next. It starts talking about bearing fruit. Wouldn't you know? Okay. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Man, what did we talk about tonight? Becoming good soil for the master. It means we're going to have to, how do we do it? Set ourselves to understand, okay? Set ourselves to seek God's face. For some of you, this just means just start reading your Bible, right? I told my wife this year I want to read at least 3 books. I think I already did one. Okay, besides the Word of God, 3 books. Okay, people that, you know, get Pastor Jim's book. We should get followership, and everybody should read that. Okay, this founding pastor wrote the book, and this is his church. Hello. Okay, I'm going to leave that one alone. All right, set ourselves to understand. What was the second one? Set ourselves to understand, prepare for hard times. I'm forgetting my own points. Okay? It has to do with laying aside, right? Laying aside the things that compete for the Word's place. Okay? And then giving ourselves to thought. I should just stick to my notes here. Identify. Give time and study to contemplating God's Word. If you got something good from God's Word, come on, go ahead and give Him a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.